Haynes planners approve permits for a restaurant, hydro project, and helipad. And music and history call a Haynes resident to the far north. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Haynes Planning Commission Thursday unanimously approved conditional use permits for a restaurant, a hydro operation, and a helipad. Haynes residents Cambria Goodwin and Eric Forrester plan to open a new restaurant called the Pilot Light in the building where Mosey's restaurant used to operate. Neighboring residents Lee and Greg Horner said when Mosey's was operating, the restaurant's parking and composting methods were a concern.
It was just a bad experience. It got way out of hand. It was bad.
Forrester said he and Goodwin plan to be respectful of the neighbors. He said if composting on the property becomes a nuisance, they would dispose of it off-site.
We're not trying to make our neighborhood stink. We live there too. We don't want our property to stink. Like we're not trying to ruffle feathers. If it gets to be too much volume, we can work around it.
The planning commissioners talked about putting requirements regarding composting or parking in the conditional use permit, but they decided that would be punishing the new owners for the problems of the past. The restaurant permit was unanimously approved with no restrictions. The second permit on the agenda was for Southern Energy Inc.'s John Floreski's proposed hydroelectric power generator at Walker Lake. Floreski presented the commission with dozens of pages of plans and permits.
It's been in the process for 5 years. I've put a lot of effort, a lot of money into it.
Walker Lake drains into Walker Creek and Little Salmon River. 26-mile resident Nicholas Tchaikovsky spoke out against the hydro project, saying it could impact salmon and swan habitat.
You want to make sure you put those in places where there won't be really significant biological consequences. And unfortunately, the Little Salmon watershed is a place that is really biologically rich.
Interim borough manager Brad Ryan, who used to work for a regional watershed council, said he didn't think the hydro operation would impact Little Salmon. He said Alaska Fish and Game would also have to review the project for those kind of impacts before it goes forward. The commission unanimously approved the hydro permit. Here's Chair Rob Goldberg.
I look at it as power security for Haynes. I think we need this project.
The commission also unanimously approved a conditional use permit to allow a helipad at 35 Mile for the purpose of operating a heliskiing business. Property owners Sean Brownell of Alaska Heliskiing and Mike Wilson have been trying to get permission to use the helipad for months now. Brownell said it would allow them to move their operations away from 33 Mile, which he said has safety issues.
I've seen cars swerve as the heli flies over them, or the snow kicks up and creates visibility problems. And I've been watching it go on for many years and just haven't been comfortable with it.
Goldberg said he visited the 35-mile site, and it appears to be a safer location than 33-mile. Here's Commissioner Heather Lendy.
My concern is that, you know, it would be great if we were closing 33-mile and doing this. My concern is that we're not, and we're hearing how unsafe that is, and now we're going to have two operations right next to each other.
Commissioner Donnie Turner said the safety of the 33-mile heliport shouldn't be a factor in the decision about 35-mile.
No, I mean, you're not a helicopter expert, neither am I, and so I have no expertise on whether that site is safe or not safe, and so I'm not going to issue an opinion to that effect.
The permit the commission granted only allows for helipad use for heliski operations about 3 months out of the year. Brownell and Wilson are appealing to the commission for unlimited year-round use. They say that since the heliport was in operation before the Haynesboro imposed additional restrictions on heliports, they have a use by right. But recent acting manager Julie Causey, at the advice of the borough attorney, said that since their helicopter landings were so minimal during that time, their use by right is limited to a handful of landings per year. The commission decided to seek further advice from the borough attorney about whether the conditional use permit it just granted changes anything. So the 35-mile heliport will come before the Planning Commission for the sixth time at its next meeting on March 10th. One of the three finalists in the Haines superintendent search has withdrawn his candidacy. Tom Yaris, CEO of Discovery Academy in Big Sky, Montana, withdrew from the superintendent search Friday morning. He was one of three people the Haines School Board chose for further interviews after talking to six semifinalists Wednesday. Connie Newman, superintendent of Pribilof Island School District based in St. Paul, Alaska, will take his place as a finalist. She has more than a dozen years of experience as a superintendent for small Alaska school districts. In her Skype interview with the school board Wednesday, Newman said she was proud of her work with the Pribilof District's budget.
We have been able to look down the long road to make those tough choices and still protect the integrity of the programs that we deliver to our kids.
The other two finalists for the job are Yakutat Superintendent Robin Gray and Paw Paw Michigan Superintendent Anthony Habra. Newman, Gray, and Habra plan to visit Haines for in-person interviews and a community forum February 23rd and 24th. Haines resident Nancy Nash is traveling around the high Arctic next week to share her passion for music, or more specifically, chanting. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us heartily rejoice.
Over the next week or so, Nash will trade her rain boots for a parka and local salmon for muktuk, or whale blubber. She's heading to Point Hope, 300 miles above the Arctic Circle, and Kivalina, tiny Inupiaq villages in Alaska's far north. The temperature there recently was hovering around 0 degrees, not too cold for the Arctic. Last week, Nash warmed up her vocal cords while taking a break from her trip preparations.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And
singing and music has always been a part of, and chanting has been a part of everyone's life from the beginning.
Nash is the music coordinator for the Alaska Episcopal Diocese, which includes 50 parishes from Ketchikan to Point Lay. She's making the trek north to help revive some very old chants with the parishioners there. In October, Nash attended a statewide gathering of the diocese and sang part of a chant for the group.
And near the end of the convention, an elder in the church in Point Hope, Dora Satangana, came up to me and she sang in my ear and she said, "Is this what you just sang?"
It was a little different, Nash says, but she mentioned to the woman that she wanted to find out more. That's when she was invited to Point Hope to sing with the locals.
And I will be taking all the research I've done about what could be the chants that they know from the original mission.
Nash says the Episcopal mission in Point Hope was the second in Alaska. A missionary traveled there in 1890 and taught the locals four-part settings using scripture passages. Through some online investigating, Nash found the 1892 hymnal used there.
And I can't believe it, but here in 2016 now, there are people that have passed down those settings and still remember them. And I'm going to, I hope, assist in reviving those. It's an unparalleled chance to be in Point Hope, which is the longest continually lived-in place in both the Americas. Back to prehistoric times, and I'll be singing with them and bringing kind of the latest in the modern church and hoping to hear the four-part harmony sung in those chants that go way back.
After Point Hope, Nash will travel to Kivalina, a small island community in the Chukchi Sea. Kivalina has gained attention in recent years because it is literally falling into the ocean thanks to coastal erosion. Faith is strong in Kivalina, and Nash says she's looking forward to spending a few days at a gathering of the Arctic Coast Deanery, a subgroup of the Episcopal Church.
And so the other thing I'll be doing both at Point Hope and Kivalina is I'll be helping, they have good guitarists in both places, I was told by our bishop. And so I've done settings of the Episcopal hymnal for some of our very best hymns that have that are the most singable, that have the best texts.
Nash worked on translating some of the chants into the Inupiaq language with the help of a translated prayer book from 1925, something that wouldn't have even been possible 20 years ago, before the inception of accessible internet. She spelled out the long words phonetically to help her, showing off her work at her kitchen table. Nash says hearing the chants in Inupiaq will be one of the most exciting parts of the trip. And it'll take her a few days to get there. She has to fly to Juneau, Anchorage, Kotzebue, Nome, and then on to the smaller villages. She says she's hoping to see and do as much as she can on her short trip. She's even made arrangements to teach a Zumba class at the school in Point Hope.
It's more enriching for me because I just feel so strongly about the importance of music and chanting and in our well-being.
Historical chants and songs have been lost over the decades, Nash says, and she's hoping that her visit will help bring them back. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.